Are you happy? Woo-hoo! Amen. Well, don't get overly excited. Because even in that, there is some suffering that we're going to have to endure.
Right.
Amen. So it's not all pie in the sky. There's a reality. There's a time and a season that we're living in right now. And this week, I worked so hard this week on sermons about the talents, because that's where we're going, kingdom, right? Kingdom of God. I'm going to preach about the talents. And I struggled all week, man. I was fighting with my pen. I was trying to write it and stuff, and it was just, the ink wasn't coming out, and it was just, oh, it was horrible. I fought with that all week long. Friday night, I said, honey, I have nothing to talk about Sunday morning. What am I going to do? And she said, pray. Wow, geez, Shazam! What an idea! No, I've been praying about it, but I wanted to do my thing. Right? I really want to talk about the talents. But Saturday morning I came here and I really had nothing. I mean, I had nothing to talk about. Nothing at all. So I got right here where I'm standing. I laid out before the Lord.
Brother.
I said, God, what do I do? God, you're going to bring some people here that need something.
Yes.
And right now, I am an empty bucket. I got nothing to give.
Thank you, God.
And the Lord laid on to me, on my heart, and said, the little horn's rising.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all I heard. The little horn's rising.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up, and I said, all right, God, thank you. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. So I looked it up. Little horn. Wow. And in 2 hours, I wrote 5 pages. All right. You ain't going to get it all today. All right. Yeah, there should be another thank the Lord for that one. But the little horn is rising. I truly believe that we are in a time right now that Paul wrote about, that Daniel wrote about, yes, that Jesus talked about in the Revelation.
Yes.
All right? And when Paul wrote about this, it was about almost 2,000 years ago. All right? So we'll start there, and then we'll back up to Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to read pretty much all of Daniel chapter 7. We're going to go through that a little bit, just kind of reading it. And then we're going to pull back into the New Testament to see what time it is. All right? We're going to look at some things. And so let's go to the Lord. Just thank you, Father, for this word.
Yes.
I ask even now, Lord, as we're about ready to get into this. Okay, God. I'm sorry. Okay, Lord. I hear you. All right. And I don't want you to think that I'm crazy. He's hearing voices. All right, things just changed a little bit. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 7 first, and then we're going to back up to 1 Thessalonians, okay? And the reason that I'm going to do that, I don't want you to think I'm doing this super spiritual thing, because I really haven't written Thessalonians, but God said I need to check on this first. All right? In Daniel chapter 7, we'll pick up in verse 7 or verse 15, Lord. Both of them are about the same. So we'll start in 7. Well, start in 1, right? Duh, you're starting in 7. How many more? 7 more verses, right? All right, let me lay the scene for you. Belshazzar was the king of Babylon, and he was just in his starting his first year of reign there. And so Daniel's there. He's a slave. He's anointed by God. He's a seer of visions. The Lord talks to him, shows him the deep things of the Lord. And then this vision comes to Daniel. He was upon his bed, verse 1. The first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, David had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. So this is what he's going to be telling you right now. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, 4 winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. 4 great beasts came up out of the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and he made, and Israel. All right, there's the first beast. And the second, and behold, another beast, the second, like a bear, raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in its mouth, and between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast had also four heads. And dominion, rule, authority, dominion, was given unto it. Okay, so you see these first three beasts, all right? And then if you were dreaming, wouldn't this make you kind of a little uncomfortable too? Right? You're looking at it. But when you look back at Daniel and his work, you see that he's talking about powers and principalities that were coming upon the earth. Okay, it started out with Babylon and the golden image that he saw, the head of the gold, breast of silver, brass, and then the iron, and then the iron mingled with clay on its feet, right? And so you know that he's talking about these things. The first beast that he saw would have been Babylon itself, right? Is the winged lion. And the second, the silver part of the Colossus, would be the bear. All right, and that is the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the brass, which would have been the winged leopard, is the Grecian Empire. And you can go through time and you can see how those worked out. We're not going to get caught up in that because that's not what we're looking at. Those empires have come and they've moved. All right, they're gone. In fact, the Roman Empire, even the last one, the one of iron, has risen, and it has never disappeared. All right? It never disappeared. After the Roman Empire, the Caesars had finished, and Alexander the Great came, and he ruled the Roman Empire. But when he died, he divided that up into his 10 generals, or his 10 generals took order over that. And so we're going to see this in this next beast that Daniel saw. And verse 7, and after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast. He was dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke in pieces, and it stomped the residue with its with the feet of it, and it was diverse of all the other beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And I considered the horns. Behold, there came up among them a little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth that spake great things. I beheld to the, and now he's going to go and he's going to look at the throne room of heaven. And he behold, and the thrones were cast down, all of authority, other authority is cast down. And the Ancient of Days did set, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair, the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like a flaming fire, and his wheels as a burning fire. A fiery stream issued forth from him. Thousands and thousands ministered, and tens of thousands stood before him. And the judgment was seized, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of great words which the horn spoke. Now, who was speaking here? That little horn, right? Now, catch the scene. Now, all right, Daniel in his vision, he sees this new beast. It's dreadful, more dreadful than any other beast. It's awesome. It's powerful. It's more powerful. And it took in its feet, it just crushed all the other powers and principalities that were in front of it. Just like the Romans did when they came in. When the Romans came in, they kicked tail, right? They took names, didn't even take names. They just killed you. They were fierce in the way that they moved. And like I already said, when the Roman Empire started its decline, it got broken up or divided into 10 separate rulerships, little rulerships. Well, Daniel's saying after those 10, he's going to see this small horn rising up. And this small horn is very significant because this small horn is an individual that's mentioned throughout prophecy, throughout scripture, over and over and over again. We see this little horn that comes up. And it has the eyes of a man, but it speaks great things. All right? It has great authority. Now look at what he does. He plucks up three of those other kingdoms by the roots. Like pulling turnips out of your garden. Popped them out. Right? Wasn't nothing to it. He had that kind of authority. But it doesn't say that he was using violence to do this. All right? So we're going to take a little bit deeper look into that here in just a moment. In the seal judgment, that first rider that comes up riding a white horse, right? And he has a bow, but we always heard that he has no arrows. That word bow is different than what you might think. That word bow is only used this one time in the scripture, this word bow. And it's T-O-N. I hate having to spell things out because I'm horrible in spelling. Let me go back because I wrote it in my Bible. Revelation. Get over there, do the back. Yeah, Revelation 6. 9, 8, 7, 6. Yes. T-O-X-O-N. That word bow. He rode a white horse and what it says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him had a bow and a crown. Authority was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This word bow, it's the only time that's used in the whole Bible. T-O-X-O-N, Texon. And it's not a bow like we think. It's a simple piece of fabric. It's like Miss America, right? It has that thing on. So he has this thing going across his chest right here. Hey, I'll answer that. No, he has this ribbon that goes across his body, which means that he's a politician. In the Roman times, he would be a politician. He had this sash that went across his body. Everybody listened to me. I got some things to tell you. There's trouble in the world. I got the fix for it. Just trust me. I'm the government. I came to help. Right? And that's basically what this thing is happening. Now, in Daniel's scene of this new creature, this beast that came up, this little horn that came up, he had a great mouth boasting great things, blasphemy. He was talking blasphemy about the Most High God. He was talking blasphemy about the children of God. He was talking about defeating the whole world, the Christian and the Hebrew peoples, how he would just conquer any of the saints. Back in the in Daniel again, as we came up, thousands and thousands worship, and down to 15. And because it just might as well read it, right? Verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to be burned, given to the burning flame, as considering the rest of the beast, they had their dominions taken away and their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the people and the nations and the languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So, praise God, we see the end of the story here, that there's a king coming, all right? He is the Ancient of Days, and his kingdom's going to outlast all the other kingdoms. But before his kingdom come, all right, before his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there's another small little blip in the screen right here, all right? And this grieved Daniel's spirit in 15, and I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions that of my head troubled me. And I came near to them that stood, and I asked him the truth about this. So he told me and made known the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four, are for kings, all right? So that makes it simple enough. What were the beasts? They're kings, they're kingdoms, they're rulers, all right? Which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Glory to God, right? Glory to God. Woohoo! That's good news. We have trusted Jesus Christ. We have a kingdom not just forever, but forever and ever. All right? So take comfort, because it's going to get rough. But this is not the end of the story. This is just part of the story. Account. Remember, anything written in the Bible is not a story. Pinocchio is a story. This is an account of things that are going to happen. Verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Now, Daniel was more concerned about the fourth beast than he was all the other three beasts that came before. He said, this fourth one is exceeding. It's more terrible than all the rest of the beasts. And the horn that comes up on him, it is more deadly, more frightening than anything he had seen before. This small horn rising. The truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with teeth of iron and nails of brass, which devoured and broke in pieces and stomped the residue with his feet. And of the ten horns which were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn which had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. All right, now he's telling us some things about this little horn that's coming up in the midst of the old Roman Empire, out of these ten kingdoms that came out of the Roman Empire, and he's showing us that three will be pulled out, and then this little one's going to come out, and he's going to be more stout, stocky, strong like ox. Right? I pick things up, I put things down. He's just a tough little grizzly kind of grizzle. Anybody ever chew grizzle? Ain't that grizzle good, but it takes a long time to chew. Anyhow. And so this guy is like, yeah, he's just tough as nails. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints, all right, and prevailed against them. Now, wait a second. It just told us that we're going to have a kingdom that lasts forever and ever and ever. But we also found out that this little grizzly horn that's coming up is going to prevail against the saints. You know what that tells me? People who trust in Jesus Christ have got some tribulation coming their way.
Right.
There's coming up a person, an individual, a little horn. The rising of this little horn is coming even in our day that we're standing right here, right now. We are in the midst of the small horn rising.
Amen.
All right? And I did not know for sure about this until just a little while ago. I mean, I always knew about the mark of the beast, but and all that stuff. But it was so, how would the world system, how would they ever do that? How could they get everybody in the whole world to stay home for 2 months and wear a mask?
That's true.
How could they do that?
Fear.
How? They can do it through fear.
Right.
All right? And what am I going to do? I'm going to make a virus, and I'm going to set it out on the world. And everybody's going to be so afraid that they'll do whatever I tell them to do.
Right.
I never thought I could see it until last month. I never believed in all my dreams that any one world entity would have the authority to come up and get everybody, including the church, to be so afraid that they won't gather together. To be so afraid that they'd lock away their grandparents, right, into little homes in solitary confinement. I never, ever thought of this ever. I mean, I knew the Bible said it, but I couldn't picture it until the unveiling happened.
Amen.
Church, wake up. We are closer to the end than what you might think.
Amen. That's right.
Right? And you think this one was bad? Well, we're going to get over this one. Wait till the next one comes. All right? They've already got the world primed. They are primed. You're primed. Man, you're primed. Because this Antichrist is going to come in, and he's going to have this little horn's going to show up, and he's going to have the answers. He's going to have the Well, it's the bull, but the, when you, you're a diplomat, diplomacy. he's gonna be a diplomat. He's gonna have diplomacy. He's gonna be speaking great things. And you know the ones that we really need to take care of, he would say? Those who believe in Jehovah.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know the ones that are really the problem? The ones that say, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
The ones that are really the problem are the ones who really and truly believe and really believe that Jesus said, I am the only truth, I am the only way, I am the only life, and no man goes to the Father except through me. Those are the trouble people.
Right.
We're going to have to gather all those folks up. All right, now come with the Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2.
Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
There isn't any reason to fear for us because...
Amen.
We are not going to die 1 minute.
Ooh, come on. Come on.
1 minute after.
Right there.
God says it.
God is sovereign, right? We ain't got nothing to worry about. He's in control. We've been promised already in Daniel. He saw the Ancient of Days. And we're given a kingdom not just forever, but forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Praise God. We ain't got nothing to worry about.
No, we don't.
But there is a truth that comes along with this. There's a warning that comes along with this. We have been taught... The majority of born-again believers have been taught that before any of these things happen, you're going to float up into the air. You're going to be caught away, and you'll never have 1 minute of trouble. Right? And oh, how I pray that that's true. Oh, man, oh, I hope it is. But when I really look at Scripture, I don't see that happening. I see tribulation. I see trouble. I see that the church is going to go through a dividing. In fact, Jesus even said that. I'm going to send my angels. It's the last day, and I'm going to separate the tares and the wheat. There's going to be, they're both planted together in the church right now, in the body. They're both in the field, and they're growing together right now. But when the end times come, I'm going to send my angels. I'm going to make a division. Sheep and the goat. What are you doing with the talents? You look at those kingdom parables that Jesus taught and look at the time that we're living in. How many churches across America are closed right now? How many Christians are too afraid to come and worship right now in America? I think the division's already happening. All right, so Paul's writing in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and there have been some folks coming and telling that Jesus has already come. All right? And so Paul says, listen, I've got to fix this problem here. And he says, now we, that's the group he was with, beseech you, beg you earnestly, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Listen, Jesus is coming, we're going to be gathered unto him, and by that authority I'm talking to you. That's what Paul is saying to the church of Thessalonica. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by the Spirit nor by the Word nor by the letter as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Now that was a very true statement when Paul wrote this letter. Paul wrote this letter in A.D. 50 or 52, 51 or 52, around that time. And so I did some calculation between A.D. 51 in 2020. How long is that? Well, if you use a 365-year calendar, it's 719,166 days. Doesn't sound that far, does it? Actually, that's 1,970 years. All right, so that's a few years ago he did this. If you use the Jewish calendar of a 360-day year, is 1,997 years ago he wrote this. So 1,997 years ago, he said, listen, folks, don't worry about it. Because who's going to live that long? In his day, wouldn't nobody live that long? I mean, I don't know anybody who was around for the original church of Thessalonica alive today. Right? If you are, you are so old you can't see, you're spitting dust, right? You ain't got much. right? So it is a long time ago. And he says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, that that day should come, except. Now pay very close attention here. Except. That day is not going to come until some other things happen.
Right.
All right? What did he say is going to happen? A falling away. The word here is apostasy. There will be a great falling away. There will be the church is the ones who believe in Jesus Christ are going to stop being together. All right? They're going to stop coming together because of the iniquity, the sin, the love of many will grow cold in the last days. Why? Because the iniquity, the sin of many, not many in the world, because we're not of the world, all right? I'm not overly concerned about how many folks who don't know the Lord sin. They can't, they're blinded by themselves. I can't help that. Unless the Father moves over them, they can't see the right way. They can't see righteousness.
Right.
But in the church, in the ecclesia, in the body, we can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening in the body of Christ today?
Mm-hmm.
How about the love of many?
Mm-hmm.
Because the iniquity, because sin is raging on our government, because sin is raging on the outside coast, because sin is raising behind the pulpits of the church, because sin is roaring in the deaconship, because the body of Christ has quit desiring to be holy and set apart.
Amen.
The love of many is growing cold.
Amen.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that we're not gathering together and we're not singing songs. Spiralize, woohoo, yay, yippee, groovy, let's get our guitar, you know, I can play the greatest, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
You can get a really fancy preacher that knows all of the big words, knows all of the theology, but he's not living it.
Right.
You can get a lot of people coming to these massive gatherings and massive buildings, hundreds of thousands of them gathering together, but they don't know God.
Right.
And they're not looking to know God. They're looking to bless me, feed me, feed me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Instead of being the blessing to the lost and the hurting, they're looking for themselves to be blessed. We're not to be blessed. We are the blessing.
Amen?
Amen. We are the blessing.
Amen.
See, the church has grown cold. We've gotten sick. We've allowed too much of the world inside of us. Oh, God, forgive. He says, unless a falling away, an apostasy happens, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So when the falling away happens, when the falling away starts to happen, the church gets weaker and weaker and weaker.
Right. Amen.
Right? There's holes in the front line. And then this man of sin is going to start showing up.
Mm-hmm.
This man of perdition, the son of perdition. Son of perdition is only mentioned twice in the Bible, here and in John, when Jesus was talking about Judas.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Satan entered him, and he became the son of perdition, destruction. The son of destruction. This little horn, this Antichrist, is the offspring of perdition, destruction. Who is the destroyer? Go ahead.
Satan.
Lucifer. He's the destroyer. He's going to have an offspring. He already has one. Judas, right? He has, there is an evil Superman out there. And he's in a higher authority than what we might think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's in such an authority, he can say, everybody wear a mask and stay 6 feet apart.
Right.
And everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that there isn't a real thing going out with the virus.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm saying at all. Amen, there is. The problem is the church, right? We're supposed to live by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Amen, brothers.
All right. What I see, all right, is not the reality that is. All right? What I see is the Lord high and lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What I see is my faith growing and growing and growing. What I understand of the world's telling me to separate, to divide, not to come together, not to trust the sovereign Lord, but to live in fear. But we know that the Bible says God did not give us a spirit of fear.
That's right, man.
That's not given to us by God. That's given to us by the enemy. So why are we getting a double soup full of it?
Right.
Church, take courage. Amen?
That's right.
We got a kingdom. That's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
But we also have a deceiver.
Right.
That's coming up against us.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up against the body of Christ in a real, very real. He says in verse 4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Isn't that what we saw in Daniel chapter 7? He's exalting himself. He's going to end up seating himself in the Holy of Holies and calling himself God. He's going to exalt himself above everything that is known as God. It says that he's going to wage war against the saints, and he's going to prevail. You know what that means? He's going to win in the physical. Right? He's going to win. He can't win if we ain't here. Right? So that means we got to be here for the battle, right? And so remember, verse 5, remember ye, not when I was with ye, I told you these things. And now, and know ye not what withholdeth he might be revealed in his time. See, he's going to be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. So even in Paul's time, that iniquity was already working. And he who letteth, that means resisteth, he who resists will resist until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we know the end of him. But look at what it says before that. First, there'll be a falling away. After the falling away, there'll come this one saying, you need to worship me. Follow me. Jesus talked about it. He said, in the last days, they're going to say, Christ is over here, Christ is over there. Don't believe them. Don't go there.
Amen.
All right? Because when you see me coming, you'll know it.
Right.
And be prepared to know it. Know the day. Know the time. He that letteth, the Greek word is ketecho. K-A-T-E-K-H-O. Say it how you want to. All right? I can't pronounce it. But it means the one who holds back, the one that let it, the one who holds back, the one who restrains, the one who hinders the causes of progress. All right? The progressive, the wicked one, what's he trying to move forward? What's his agenda?
Evil.
Evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me your children for 14 years. Right? Allow me to train your kids in the world system, and then you try to pull them out of that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
All right? Trust me, because I got the answers. Remember, I got that sash on, man. I'm riding my white horse, dude. Got my horse, man. I got all the answers. Just trust me. Lean into me, man, because I'm the government. I'm here to help. But for me to help, you're going to have to take my mark.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the church says, oh, I'll never take your mark. I ain't going to take that. That's mark of the beast. Can't fool me. Wear your mask and stay home.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you can receive the vaccine, or when you receive this vaccine, there's a little extra in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should line up for blocks and blocks and blocks. We're going to give you a shot. And we already know that they have those little transmitters that are about that big that can fit underneath your skin. That's common knowledge. We know that we have the tech. Do you know that we didn't have that technology until this generation? It wasn't around. And here's even a cooler technology than that. They have it in a type of a tattoo or a stamp that you can't see with the visible eye. Anybody back in the disco days have those stamps, right? You have a little done with the black light that shows up, right? Those things. Remember those? You do.
Yeah,
I do. Disco, disco, no. So, anyhow, the things that are happening right now, that technology, and there's a tattoo, a stamp that you can't see, but it can be picked up,
right.
And in that has like a barcode, and it has all your information.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody line up for their vaccine, and this is what it looks like, ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. And you put it on you, and it absorbs into your skin. Oh, but you're safe. Trust me. I'm the little horn. I say great things. And if it were possible, even the very elect would be fooled.
Amen.
If it were possible.
If it were possible.
Now, what would make that possible?
Fear.
Fear would make that possible. Fear. Because I am so afraid. I'm so scared that I'm going to die. I'm so scared that somebody else is going to die. And as I've said over the last several weeks, how many of us die?
All
of you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We're not supposed to fear death. Why? Because I got a kingdom that lasts for how long? Ever, never, never, never. I have a king that died for my sin, and I trust him more than what I see.
Amen.
Oh, the little horn is rising.
Yep.
Amen. He's rising, and it talks about that he has only a 3-year period. I didn't get to it in Daniel, but I think it was within the next verse or two.
Three and a half
years, right? And so, but it does say the exact time that it is, and yada yada yada, some days. Oh, I should have marked that down too. Oh, here it is, verse 25 of Daniel 7. And he speak in great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the sayings of the Most High, and think to change the times and laws. Wow, now think, listen to what he says he's going to do. I'm going to change the times and the laws. Now, I ain't picking on Miss Obama, but this is the first time I ever heard it said out in public. We need to change our history.
Right.
Y'all remember when she said that?
Mm-hmm.
We need to change you can't change history. But the power of the Antichrist says we're going to change the times and the laws of the times. We're going to make it our way. I'm going to decide when I'm going to die. I'm going to decide when I ain't going to die.
Yeah.
God doesn't have power over me. I'm the Antichrist. Not me personally. But this is what he says. He says, I'm going to change the times. God is no longer sovereign to you. I'm the government. I can make you live longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I'm going to do it? I'm going to take your old folks and lock them up in a room. For 2 months at a time where they can't even see or hear from their loved ones. For shame.
Amen.
For shame. We don't hear that word too much anymore, especially from the pulpit. Shame!
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. And he says, anyhow, I will change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into the hands until the time, times, and a dividing of times. 3.5 years. A times, time, and a dividing of times.
Mm-hmm.
We can get into the mathematics of that if you want to, but it will take a lot longer than what I want to speak to you today. All right? So for 3.5 years, page one. All right? So we saw in 2 Thessalonians, Paul said, listen, the time when he wrote that was almost 2,000 years ago. The time wasn't ready. 2,000 years have passed. I believe the time is ready.
Amen.
Amen. I will see at when Paul wrote this, there was no way to mark and number every single human on the earth, but there is now.
Right.
When Paul wrote this, there was no way to get people around the world so scared that they would voluntarily lock themselves away until this year.
That's right.
Amen.
Paul's writing this. He says, listen, that he's going to be revealed in his time. Now, we don't know exactly who he is, so he's not being revealed right now, but definitely his fingerprints are on a lot of things. In other words, I can't tell you who he is or when he's going to show up. Not my business. I can't tell you when Jesus is going to come back. Not even the angels in heaven know that, only the Father, right? So I can't tell you that either. One thing I can tell you is that we need to be ready.
Amen.
We need to be understanding what the apostasy really looks like.
Amen.
Do you know that Paul describes it to Timothy, what the apostasy, what the falling away is going to look like? 1 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll also be getting into 2 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says now, verse 1, the Spirit expressed The Spirit speaketh expressly. You know what he's in? The Spirit told me for sure. All right? For sure. The Spirit says for sure that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There'll be a falling away. Some are going to leave the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, saying that you're one thing and you're really something else. Acting the Christian. Right? You show up on Sunday, oh, look at me, I'm all spit shine and so pretty. But I beat my wife on the way to work. You know, you should have seen. My kid's bike was in the back, and instead of slowing down and getting it out of the way, I just ran it over. I cussed them for leaving it there. Oh, man. Hypocrisy. Christian wouldn't do that. No. A Christian wouldn't never beat somebody up for their sin. That's not my job. My job is not to expose you of your sin. My job is to expose the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will expose your sin.
That's right.
Not my job. But if I'm a hypocrite, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to beat you with my battle axe called the Bible until you submit.
Yeah.
Right? And that won't save you.
No. Amen.
That'll make you lean into works. That'll make you a religious person.
Right.
Oh, Jesus didn't like religious people. Whitewashed sepulchers. Tombs full of dead men's bones. Right? He didn't like religion. He wanted a relationship.
Amen.
God's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living.
Right?
And we need to stop the speaking lies and hypocrisy, having our conscience seared as with a hot iron.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes in forbidding to marriage and to abstain from certain meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. Right, you can eat muskrat if you want to, baby. It's okay. And those who tell you you shouldn't be married, you should be married. But one man, one woman. Amen. And you need to be born a man because you're going to die a man. You're born a woman, you're going to die a woman. I don't care what the doctors do to you. I don't care what kind of silicones they put in you. And I don't care what kind of holes they cut for you. If you're born a boy, you're going to die a boy.
Amen.
Period. Right? And it may make some people angry about that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't care.
That's right.
Because it's the truth.
Amen.
Right? Not that I don't love those that are caught in that snare, because I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about their sin. They're deceived. A great deception has been put over them. A blinding,
yes.
A veil is still over their eyes. And they cannot see the truth.
No.
Oh, but God. Amen? He's able to open it up. But we, the church, the bride of Christ, we need to wake up and know that we're in these last times. And we need to be more courageous today than what we were a month ago. We need to be more prepared today than what we were a month ago. We need to be more desiring and infilling of the Holy Spirit than what we had a month ago. It is time to wake up. Church,
amen.
I don't know when this madman's going to come on, this son of perdition. I don't know, but I can see his fingerprints in the works of time around the world.
Amen.
He is alive, he is real, and he is dangerous.
Amen.
Sir.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
And if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, repent! Amen. If the church would repent,
amen,
and get right with Jesus, he would change things.
Amen. Amen.
I ain't going to repent.
That's right.
I'm too stubborn. It's my way, not your way. Paul also wrote to the church in Rome about what it will look like. Oh, think. Romans chapter 1.
Yeah.
Amen. And where does that start? 17, the guilt of mankind, 18. Okay. Well, I've got my marker there. I do. You ain't got nowhere to go because I'm only on page 2. Right? Amen. If you got beans burning on the grill, let them burn. This is more important. All right? Or I think it is. I don't know about y'all. If y'all really got to go.
Yep.
Go, amen. Thank you. Get up and go. Because I don't know if I have another day to preach this.
That's right.
I don't know for sure if the state troopers aren't going to come kicking down the door any minute because we're a Bible-believing church and we're not backing down.
Amen. Amen.
All right, it's happening all over America today. The brown shirts are coming.
That's right.
The one world government is coming, and they hate what we're doing.
Yes.
But we're not complying.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not going the way of the world. I'm following Jesus.
Amen.
Right? It might send me to jail.
Yeah.
It might have me pulled out right out here in front of Caledonia on the circle and stoned or whipped to death. Right? Because we are the only church in the area. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Amen. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against how much ungodliness?
All.
You know, in Greek, the word all means all. It means all of it, all ungodliness. In the church, how much ungodliness is the wrath of God going to come? Romans, I slipped over to Romans, chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Very key right there. How can you hold the truth if you don't know the truth?
That's it.
Amen?
Yeah.
These people knew the truth and they held on to unrighteousness instead of the truth.
Yes. Yeah.
They believed the lie.
Amen.
All right? Who held on to the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is made known of God is manifested in them. For God hath shown it to them. All right? How do you know the truth? Who shows it to you? Not Curtis. Right? God. He spells his name completely different. He looks a lot better and bigger and more powerful than me. Right? I am just a sheepdog. That's
right.
All I am.
Amen.
And I'm going to nip around your heels for a little while, okay? So go ahead and try to kick. It's all right. I'm a sheepdog. I'm built for that stuff. All right? Because they which knew God, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him that from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Oh, professing to be wise, they became fools. This verse 22 really became real to me a few years ago. We've been in this building a little while, about a year before that. There was a new pastor in town, and I wanted to have somebody to pray with. Maybe I could be equally yoked with him, and we could share some things, and I could have a friend in the gospel in the town. So I went to his office, and we started talking. And, of course, I talked pretty quick about Jesus, you know, and I talk about the things that are, that man is created in the image of God and not a monkey. He didn't agree with that. In fact, he said, God allowed us to believe that until we got smarter. Okay? He's a pastor of a large church. Okay? He professed himself to be wise, but he was really a fool. He didn't believe that that life began when the first cell split. Amen? Now, if you found that on Mars, you'd call that life, right? If you find that in a woman's womb, that's not life. I believe, I told him that I believe that God created all things in a literal 6 days.
Amen.
Now, if it took millions and billions of years, there's a time gap between verse 1 and 3.
No, I don't believe the gap.
Me neither. The gap was between his ears.
The gap theory is wrong.
It is. Amen. Amen. The creation is not a theory, it's the truth. Amen? And so anyhow, he was unpacking his stuff. He had a wall full of diplomas. He was a psychologist from the craziest school around. I couldn't even tell you what it was. The school of the individual. And so anyhow, he was there, he was smart. He had that, and he had all this Bible doctrine stacks up and he was a theologian and a doctor of this and that and the other, but he didn't believe that God created everything.
Poor thing, didn't
he? Yeah, he went to a cemetery instead of seminary. He went to a place to learn how to die to the truth. Amen? But anyhow, I'm not throwing stones at him. He just caught in the snare of Satan. He believed the lie instead of the truth.
Amen.
And I love him. And he didn't last long. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now see, this is all of the apostasy. This is the falling away. When we worship statues that are mounted on a wall, or you count your beads, or you go to a priest in private to confess your sins, the one high priest that's able to forgive your sins, you're worshiping something besides the Creator.
Amen. Right.
That's apostasy. That's falling away from the truth. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. You could go there. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, let's go hug a tree. It's Earth Day. Right? Oh, I will worship every fish, but I won't bow my knee before God. How many folks that go to churches believe that? Didn't they read 2 Peter where God's going to burn all this stuff with a fervent heat? By the will of God, we'll get there.
They don't have the scriptures in their church.
Don't have an altar.
Yeah, they don't. I go to the Unitarian church.
The altar's right here, baby.
There's no Bible.
No Bible.
There's nothing about Jesus.
Wow. So you see the church, the apostasy, the falling away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to that church, honey, I love you, stop.
Well, it's just for a rehearsal.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just for a band rehearsal.
Well, you're rehearsing for hell or what?
Yeah.
You know?
Dark and dingy and
right?
Oh, terrible.
And so, but yeah, if you're going to a place like that, stop.
Yes.
Stop.
Right.
Hey, stop. We need the Word of God.
Amen.
And we need to believe and hold on to the Word of God. Because the little horn is rising, and he is going to fool many. A lot of people who don't believe, who have changed the creature into some creation.
That's right.
Right? The creator into some creation. I said that backwards. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, even to leave their women. For even their women did change the natural use unto which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust one for another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense or payment for their error, which is meat, which is due for them. All right, that's what meat means, is payment. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't even want to retain God in their knowledge. How? They didn't like it. To retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Oh, children, obey your parents. It's good in the Lord. Disobedient to parents, without understanding. Covenant breakers, without natural affection. unpleasable, unmerciful, who know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Comma, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So if you agree with those that do those things that have been given over, if you agree with that, if you say, as long as they love each other, it's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, they're worshiping nature, but it's okay. It's all right if they go cut down a tree and make part of it for their cooking, part of it for their eating, and they carve part of it into an idol and they pray for it. It has ears and mouth, although it can't speak. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
I go to the most holy church down the road over there. You know, my pastor says, that's okay.
Yeah.
The Bible says you deserve death.
Amen.
I didn't say that. The Bible said that.
Amen.
Now, the Spirit expressly said that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons. That which I just read to you is indeed doctrines of demons. And that has crept behind the pulpits.
Amen.
Over the
That's
last
right.
100 years in America.
That's right.
All right? And it has gone not just in the pulpits, but in all the seminaries.
Amen.
All right? That used to bring up godly men, the colleges. All right, just the colleges. Notre Dame used to be, they made godly men.
Amen.
In their day. All of the great colleges, all of the great institutions of wisdom were founded by men who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and they founded those colleges in that.
Amen.
But they've turned into the ways of the world, professing to be wise, they've become fools.
That's right.
They've turned, and we're sending our children and paying for it ridiculous amounts of money to have their brains perverted and twisted to form into the image that the little horn desires.
Because
that's what he desires, to change our thinking, to change the times that we live in, to change the history that we have. This little horn is rising. And see, it says back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, those people, they're believing the doctrines of devils. They're speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now think about that. Those who claim to be Christian and believe those other things, have you ever tried to talk to them the truth? Why don't they listen? They have their conscience seared as with a hot iron. You try to tell them the truth over, and you do it with love and grace and mercy, but they just will not hear you. Although they know the truth, remember it says they have a form of godliness, but they don't know the power thereof. They go to church, they study, they read the Bible, but they don't know the authority of the God of the Bible.
Amen.
They don't know the sovereignty. And Amen. They started worshiping something different.
Amen.
Which is making an open highway for the deceiver, the destroyer, to come in.
Amen.
We're believing things that are not true anymore.
That's right. Pastor.
Yes, sister.
It's because the Christians do not want to submit totally to God's authority.
I agree with that.
They want their own will.
Mm-hmm.
And until you come to that place of absolute surrender, you can never.
How's that happen, though? There's your free will. You've got
to
break, submit
to
the Most High God.
Amen. Amen.
Chapter 2 Timothy 2 and chapter 3, verse 1. It's just in the next page or two over. Talking again about this apostasy, this falling away that's going to open the way for the son of perdition to come. This know also that in the last days, troublesome times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things which are good, or that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For these are the sort that creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, learning People that are learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. There, I mean, those folks I was telling you about, the doctor Bible guy that I was speaking about, he learned a lot, but he missed the truth.
Amen. Right.
He was super smart. I mean, oh man, I'd hate to try to match wits with him, because he knew way more things than I knew. He professed to be wise, but really he was a fool.
Amen.
These professors in the colleges, in supposed to be Christian colleges. We've sent young men from this church and supported them in college, and they came back atheists. What happened? What happened to those guys? They got inside of a dark teaching. They were trusting their professors and weren't trusting the written word of God.
Amen.
These are the characteristics of a church that are falling away. Alright? But what's going to repair this? Because that's enough bad news. We need some good news, right? Amen. Verse 16 of the same chapter. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So what do we need to fix it? All scripture.
Amen.
You need it from the Genesis to the Revelation. Not only do you need to take it, it is inspired by God, and it's profitable for doctrine. It is the way that we must live from day to day, as our doctrine is what we really believe. It must be what we really believe.
Amen.
And when we believe something outside of what the scripture says, it reproves us. It gives us a correction.
Amen.
Because when I think something outside of the Word of God, who's wrong? Me. Amen. God's right. He's always right. If I believe something outside of what the Scripture says, I am wrong, and
Amen.
I need to be fixed.
Amen.
It's good for correction. I don't know how to fix myself. Where do I go? The Bible.
Amen.
You go back to the Word of God, you find out where you messed up, you find out how to fix that, and you make adjustments in your life.
Amen.
All right? Instructions in righteousness.
Amen.
That the man in this word, man, is Anthropos, Anthropos. Oh, that's a big Greek word, Anthropos. All right? And it means human. So it doesn't mean just the dudes, it means the gals too. Alright? If you're a human being and you need fixing, where do you go?
To the Lord.
You go back to Jesus. Go
Amen.
Back to the cross. Go back to the Bible.
Amen.
Alright? You Anthropos, you person, you human, that you may be perfect. Okay? Artios, Artios, alright? It means fresh, complete, and fitted.
Mm-hmm.
That you can be perfect, that you can be fresh before God. Ooh, when I want to be fresh before God.
Amen.
His mercies are fresh every day.
Amen.
Amen. Every morning they're fresh and brand new every day.
Amen.
What do I need to do? I need to get up and I need to give me a bath in this thing. I need to wash it myself with it. I need to put it in me.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. It's not enough just to have it laying on your desk. You need to read it and apply it
Amen.
In a real and personal way
Amen.
Every day.
Amen.
Oh, it's good. It's profitable for instruction. It's
Amen.
Profitable for doctrine. It's there to fix me, for reproof. It's there for correction, for instructions, that I might be perfect, that I could be thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How many folks are living in a house got no furniture? You might be a Christian that have no furniture because you ain't applying the Word of God in your life. You need to be thoroughly furnished. Equipped. Amen?
Amen?
You can only get equipped by not looking at this, but applying this word to your life.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
So in a nutshell, I got 2 Peter. All right. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This isn't a lot, but it's deep. It's like one of those places where people dive in and try to go to the bottom, you know. It's not big around, but boy, it's deep. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, or privily, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. All right? Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 2 is really important. Many are going to follow their pernicious ways, their deceitful ways,
mm-hmm.
their destructive ways. All right? Many are going to do that. By the reason of who the way of truth will be spoken evil of. They're going to start, because Christians ain't living Christian lives, the way of God, the way, the truth, and the life is going to be spoken evil of.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're following something outside of the Word of God.
Amen.
You're following doctrines of devils. You're following false teachers, damnable heresies. That's serious stuff.
Amen.
Church, the little horn's rising.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And through a covetousness, shall they with forged, feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness, and received reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ash, condemned with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. But he delivered Lot, and Noah, all right, he delivered Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of wickedness, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how, amen, that's where I was getting, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation,
amen,
and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment and punishment. God knows how to do it.
Yes.
And he gave us the roadmap.
Amen.
All right? So if you're lost in your sin, you're lost in your will, you don't know what's happening, you've got a roadmap.
Amen.
It's the Bible.
Amen.
It's your way. It's the truth. It's the life. And God does not want you to perish. So in the falling away, Jehovah will judge all of that. Not my business.
Amen.
I cannot fix you.
That's right.
All right? The only person I can take care of, the one that you see standing before you.
Yeah.
And as for me, my house,
we will serve.
I am going to serve the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
Because I can't make my wife do it. She does it on her own. I can't make my kids do it. Either they will or they won't.
Yeah.
So I can't say we will follow the Lord. But I am going to tell you this vessel right here, this vessel, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to live and love in such a way that everybody can see the works of God in me.
Amen.
And they will glorify my Savior, which is in heaven. It's the end of page 2. And I'm going to let you go home. I preached for a long time. My throat is sore. I love you guys. I do. I want you to be there.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
and I want us to be prepared for the persecution.
Because
it's coming.
Amen.
That man of sin, the Antichrist, that small horn, he's arising. And when he comes, he will be fierce. And it's the battle, but the victory's already won. Amen?
Yes.
All right? This flesh might have to die a horrible death.
Yeah.
Like it was in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fed to the lions, maybe. Maybe you'll be tarred and feathered and set on fire to light the way into Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Could be. But even so, even though he slay me,
amen.
Yet will I trust
him.
Amen.
Lord.
It's good to the Lord. I love you guys. Father, we thank you so much. Your goodness, your grace. Father, I pray that even in this teaching here, Lord, the things that we have, I know a lot was laid in us today. I pray, Father, that you would move over us and that we would glean through it. Lord, that we would go back and re-listen to this and pull out the things, search it through. Father, let us know that we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
Amen. Because you indwell us.
Amen.
Father, give us strength, give us courage, give us a boldness. Lord, let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ when the time comes. Lord, and I thank you, I praise you for these things.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.